Amen. If you can kneel, please kneel. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for your presence. Thank you once again for blessing everyone here in attendance. Father, there's many here that should be here. So we lift up those that should be here. We love them dearly, and we want them to be ready. We want to be ready. Everybody wants to be ready, Father, but a lot of people keep putting stuff on the back burner, exactly as Satan planned. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing to themselves. But give them a chance to hear the truth. Send people that believe as we do to them. And water them seeds. Please water more seeds in us today. Give increase unto the seeds, Father, because only you can do that. And thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that speaks, because we're going to have others step up later to share as well. And thank you, Father, for blessing us with the light of rain when that day comes and giving us a heart's desire deep down within to be ready. And thank you for helping us overcome in areas we never thought we could. And we offer this prayer and praise to the best of our ability. And our ability, Father, always falls far short of that name we pray in. And that name that we pray in is the name of our King, our Savior, our Creator, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. To God be the glory. Okay. Picking up from last Sabbath, this is more or less going to be part two of the Loud Cry sermon series. And I'd like to repeat something I shared last week so as to set the framework for this week's sermon. It was something that on July 7th, 1998, the Vatican released this statement to all the churches of the world, because they're all in bed with Rome, including the SDAs. The SDAs are actually sending tithe to the Pope. We got the documentation on it, and that's why they're seeing another exodus. Praise God. But, of course, the leaders aren't going to say anybody's leaving, because they get government subsidies if their numbers stay up. And so, yeah, you could tell your ex-SDA pastor that you left the church. He ain't going to take your name off the books when they report, you know, to get their 501c3, you know, the benefits in regards to that, because some of them jump on the subsidies, especially the SDA church. They got a loan. Someone conned them into getting a government loan. Even though the loan was low interest, the loan was so big, Satan knew that once they got the loan, Satan saw the exodus, probably, of the SDA church. He knew what was going to happen in 1980, because he was going to move them to do it, right? And so he got them. I don't know when he got them to do this. I got it on the SDAapostasy.org site, but he got them to get a government loan to the point where they can't pay it back. They can only pay the interest. Because right after they got the loan and did the things they did, boom, the people started leaving. Not because of the loan, but because of their theology and the fact that, you know, the shaking has occurred. And some people say, whoa, you mean the shaking means they leave the church? No, the people that stay in the Seventh-day Adventist church are being shaken out of the true church. I know it sounds confusing, but that's just the way it goes. Hence the reason for prophetic utterance in Scripture not being understood by the wicked. The Lord's not going to give inside information on people that are going to make it hard for us. That's why he opens up the prophecies and the doctrines to his obedient people. You can only understand the Bible if you obey the God that wrote it. And so, and that's amazing how well that all works out. And so, back in 1998, the Pope stated something that will most assuredly happen within 6 years if the Pope of today gets his way regarding the enforcement of Sunday laws to curb the massive amount of man-made natural disasters all over the world that the Pope will claim has to do with climate change brought on by the fake Jesus standing right next to him, who will then demand all the people have to keep Sunday holy so as to stop all the disasters. And yes, you probably thought in your mind that Satan is making sure as many people get that vaccines so as to either kill them outright to make it really difficult for them to make it home to heaven because they didn't get ready. They didn't hear the truth in the loud cry. Think about this. The loud cry is coming. The loud cry is coming. Satan knows it. So he's going to do everything he can to prevent us from being instrumental in getting it to the people. All right? And when he does this, I mean, like, just looking at the vaccine alone, all those people that were killed, we can't talk to them now. They're gone. There's nothing we can do. And the ones that did get the vaccine, and it's not even a vaccine. It's not how you define a vaccine. It's gene therapy. There's a ton of doctors out there proving that, but of course they pull those videos. Like the last two videos I made, they pulled them because... That's why I'm not uploading to YouTube anymore. Oh, by the way, I stopped uploading to YouTube about 3-4 weeks ago. My subscribers are going up. It used to be they're always going up and down and up and down, although they're steadily going up. I think the enemy of souls is trying to tempt me to put up a video where they pull all the videos. Well, forget it. I got BitChute now, and the videos are doing okay on there. I don't, you know, we're not in it for the massive numbers. We're in it for the souls. But think about that. We can't talk to those people that are dead from the vaccine, and the ones that have gotten the gene therapy, who knows what it's going to do to their brains. Did you see that video? That now, of course, this won't work on real Christians. Can't. Just like voodoo. You know, some voodoo doctor, I remember years ago, witches and whatnot, oh, we can curse you. It doesn't work on people that know who your God is. It doesn't work. I am a Christian. It's not going to work. And it didn't. And so they can't curse real Christians. But there's people out there that now their brains may have been altered, and they don't, because there was videos out there where they were coming up where they called it the God gene, and they were, it was the reason they put it out there was to try and stop radical Islam, you know, where out there, you know, where they're out there killing themselves for their God. And so they wanted to nullify the section in the brain where faith is located. Like God would let them see that, right? It reminds me of what went down in the UK. I did a radio thing on this too. I'm trying to remember the name of the college that was doing it. It was one of the mainstream colleges in the UK. If anybody would put a couple of names in the room, I'll tell you. That's another thing too. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. It has to be stored at 70 below zero because it's a bioweapon. There's things in there that if they warm up, they wake up and then die, unless they're in a system where they can live, and that's your bloodstream. And so, but yeah, there was a thing that they did, and they actually advertised in newspapers asking Christians to come in and do a test to see if they can, I guess the word should have been conjure, but they weren't going to say that word in public because that's what they were actually doing. They were going to have to conjure demons to help them stop the pain. And what I mean is they had this liquid that they could put on the human skin that would feel like you are literally on fire, like your body has been ignited and you are burning. So they were going to put a little section on the arm, and they had the antidote ready immediately. And they would say, okay, now start praying and ask God to take the pain away. You know, Oxford, that's where it was. Thanks, Brother Lewis. It was Oxford University that did this. And, of course, it failed because, you know, like it says in the Psalms, you know, the Lord laughs at them, laughs them in derision. He laughs because of their idiocy. You actually think the God of the Bible is going to say, okay, this here is a strong Christian. He's going to go in and let you test it, and I'm going to answer his prayer. Says, no, he's the weakest Christian on the planet to think he can go in there and try to demand God stop the pain. But they're trying to figure out a way because Satan knows now he's really crazy scared. That's why they're doing this thing with the COVID. I mean, they're killing more people with the COVID than with the vaccine, well, the so-called vaccine, than COVID's actually killing. And there's a bunch of articles all about that now. But they still keep doing it. It's like that trolley accident, though. Somebody sent me an article on this, and I ran across it too myself, where it reminds me of that train where you got, and there was a video about this, a movie, actually, where this guy owns this, the guy works at this drawbridge, and he has to open and close the drawbridge for, you know, ships that go through, but then he has to close it because a train's coming. And he noticed one day his little boy, his one and only son, was out there on the gears of the drawbridge when it was open and a train was coming. And he had to make the decision, do I let all those people die on the train, or do I kill my own son? So, of course, the story goes he kills his own son, right? Just like what Jesus did. The father looked down, he says, do I let all those people die, or do I kill my own son? Well, this is the mindset. Boy, I should, if I got time this week, I'm going to make a video to this respect about it is better that one man should die than a whole nation should perish. Remember what, I think it was Gamaliel, the guy that said that. They're actually saying, because they stopped allowing people to get the vaccine, I think it was in Newfoundland, or the Netherlands, and they said that it's too many blood clots, people are dying. And then then some liar came up and says, well, you got all these people dying of COVID too, though, right? And so, you know, apples and oranges. So what do we do here? Do we allow them to die from the COVID that we know they're going to die, or do we give them the vaccine knowing we are going to kill some people? They decided to go ahead and give them the vaccine saying, well, we know we are going to kill some people. And it just came out yesterday. Yeah, exactly. Satanic mindset. Today's world. Ever wondered what it was going to be like in the last days? Read your newspaper. Okay, so what did the Pope say in 1998? I shared this last week. It had to do with Sunday laws. And that's why the Pope's going, doing what he's doing with the climate change, everything like that, right? He said this in his Deus Domini on July 7th, 1998, in section 67, and I have this on the website if you want it. He said, the Pope, John Paul II, said, Christians, this is back, of course, 1998, John Paul II's dead, and for eternity, in fact. Well, he'll get up again, and then he'll die again, and he'll get up again, and then he'll die for all eternity at the end of the 1,000 years. And so Christians, he said, Christians will naturally strive to ensure that civil legislation, that's laws, respects their duty to keep Sunday holy. What Satan or the fake Jesus, as prophecy exposes him as, isn't telling everyone is that the disasters we will all be seeing, in fact, they've already begun, has nothing to do with climate change at all, and everything to do with the long prophesied signs that Jesus said will happen right before he returns. I got a page on the website all about the animals, the birds, the insects, and the fish dying. I stopped updating the page because it's all I could do to work on my other pages. That there was so much coming in just in the United States alone of all these biblical proportions of animals, birds, insects, and fish dying, just as the prophet Hosea said. What this dying God that mostly all the world is now trusting to be divine due to his deceptive, glorious appearances, again, you know, like when he shows up and acts like he's Jesus, what he's also not telling the people is that the Sunday laws that he will then be demanding go directly against God's written word and his law. In fact, the loud cry we had already been declaring by this time, worldwide, has made everyone alive, aware, by the Holy Spirit, giving us perfect words to open their eyes, and all of them know at this time that the Pope and his fake Jesus are in fact lying. They all know it. But look at the mindset. We've got leaders saying, yeah, we're going to go ahead and kill people anyway with the COVID vaccine. Why? That's because there's money in there. There's a lot of money to be making on these vaccines. The kickbacks are... I mean, look at what they did in New York with the with the ventilators. Or look what they did in all of the United States with the death certificates. People, I mean, somebody made a couple of memes about it, kind of joking, where a guy jumps out of an airplane and he forgets his parachute and dies of COVID. I mean, this is how they were faking the daylights out of all these death certificates. Why? Everybody they diagnosed of dying of COVID, or coronavirus is what they called it back then, if they diagnosed them on their death certificate, they got $13,000 into that hospital. You see, that's why they don't really care if you go into the hospital or not. They're making money hand over fist. And if they put you on a ventilator, which over 80% of the people that were put on ventilators, they died. It forces the lungs to just, you know, give up. They get $39,000. Yeah, I got a write-up about, and a couple of articles about that on my pandemic page. RevenueGod.org/pandemic.htm. And then when you get there, it'll say plandemic. But don't type plandemic in the URL, because I wanted the SEOs to find it easier. Because just say the word pandemic and it'll come up better. So, anyway, everybody on the planet by this time, when the fake Jesus shows up, they're all going to know that the Pope and the fake Jesus are lying. Because we did our duty. We did as prophecy said. But because most people fear being unable to buy and sell, because they never cracked the Bible, and when it comes to the guillotines, they're going to be rolled out not long afterwards. They're all going to agree to keep Sunday holy. And due to that fact alone, see, this is the second thing that the devil's not going to tell them. When they agree to keep Sunday holy, the disasters are going to get worse. A lot worse. I mean, it's going to get really, really bad soon. But then it's going to go crazy bad after that. And I'm not even talking the plagues have started yet. And it is then, because, and Satan knows this is going to happen. He knows when he gets everybody to agree with him, he knows that it's going to get really bad on this planet, because he knew what went down with Pharaoh. The difference here is the plagues, when they come, they don't stop. Pharaoh, yeah, one stop, another one starts. One stop, another one starts. No. When the seventh plague hit, one stops. Well, number one's going to be there right when seven is falling. They're all going to continue on throughout, right? But he also knows what's going to happen with the calamities before the plagues begin. And so it is then that the Antichrist himself is going to tell everyone that the people that proclaim the truth about the Sabbath of the Creator God during the loud cry are the ones that are causing the disasters to increase, because they're disobeying him, who everybody believes is Jesus. You know, since most people alive will refuse to obey the God of the Bible, even though we showed them the truth and they understood it, the strong delusion that was promised to be upon them, it has its work. You know, you're going to have to believe something. You know, there's only two ways of going out here. You know, there's no gray areas between good and evil. It's like people say, oh, you got to, like when the elections come around, oh, you got to vote for somebody. No, you don't. They're going to try to make it mandatory, and still I'm not going to vote. If they try to make it mandatory, I'm still not going to vote. They'll put my line, maybe they'll vote for me or something like that, but I'm not going to. Why? Well, it's a vote for evil is a vote for evil. It says, well, why not vote for the lesser of two evils? You're still voting for evil, though. I'm not going to be held I'm not going to mess up my prayer life just so that you can get elected. No. But check it out. Notice the prophecy in regards to all this, with the strong delusion that the majority of the world's already under. And it's going to get more. Everybody's going to be under this one, except, of course, the obedient. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. Wait, I didn't put the sermon notes up. I'm sorry. Oh, that's still part one. Okay, hold on. Let me change the date on there. 2 Thessalonians, today's the 20th. And apply. There it goes. All right, so, okay, so that's the first verse I'm using in today's message. So there you go. So I'm still waiting on the stream over there. It's taking a second. Okay, there it went. All right, so 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12 says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. Doesn't mean they didn't hear it, because we said it. Right? Doesn't mean they didn't hear it. They just didn't love it. And so that they might be saved, it doesn't mean that, oh, I don't want to be saved, so I'm not going to believe. No, that's not what's being said here. It's being said that had they loved the truth, they would have been saved. You know, so they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, as we know, all sins except the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit are forgivable, with one exception. Those that agree to keep Sunday holy, even though they know it is sin to do so, and they do, in fact, know it is sin because the loud cry was very loud and very clear. There's no getting around the fact that they will understand it. They can't say they didn't understand it because the prophecy is clear. We're going to be given an utterance. We're going to be given words. Some of us have even had the dreams where you're going to say a sermon or say like 20 sentences or something, and it's going to be words that you know for a fact. Everybody's going to understand it so crystal clear. But they make the clear choice to disobey God to save their lives. Period. They don't have any. See, we love not the world. We love our Lord even unto death. Hence the reason for the purple robes in prophecy. That's why Jesus wore the purple robe. And so they disobey God to save their lives, and this is why the prophecy, it says that in so doing, it means they are going to be damned who believe not the truth. I mean, like blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, this sin of receiving the mark of the beast, which is received by agreeing with the fake Jesus and his Pope regarding Sunday laws, that's the mark. This sin guarantees damnation because it was, in fact, the Holy Spirit that spoke through us when we stood before them with the latter rain upon us, speaking the exact words the Holy Spirit gave us to speak. 100% of every person alive were given words from the Holy Spirit himself that he knew would be clearly heard and understood by each and every individual. That means they chose to obey the fake Jesus and his Pope over and above the absolute clear utterance of the Holy Spirit, who would have granted them eternal life even if they had to die to gain salvation. Even if they had to die. Think about that. Like, let's say they do roll out the guillotines and they're threatening to kill you if you don't keep Sunday holy, and the people go, I don't want to die, you know, because they don't love Jesus. They don't even know what it means to die and to wake up again when he resurrects them. They don't understand. They don't even believe that. But they're going to die either way. Everybody has to die eventually. Well, I don't want to die so soon. Well, look at the planet you're living on. Do you care? I mean, seriously, the guillotine blade is going to be a really sharp pain that you won't even remember because it severed your head, you know, where memory is. And so you're not going to feel that pain because, you know, you ever stub your toe? It takes about, what, 3 to 5 seconds, maybe two if you're younger, before you go, oh, this is going to hurt. And then it hurts. The same thing happens if you get your head cut off. You're not going to feel it, because by the time you're supposed to be able to feel it, the head is separated from the heart that pumps the blood into the brain that allows it to think and give you an understanding of, wow, that hurt. But no, your head's gone. And they'll ignore that and die a very graphic and painful and even slow death at times. Because a lot of people are going to die during all the plagues, but the ones that make it up to plague 7, that's not going to be an easy death. And in most cases, it's not even going to be quick. A building falls on you, you might just suffocate to death. Because you're trapped and you can't move, then you slowly. That's what they choose, though. This is what they would prefer, rather than give love to Christ, who's going to give them, you know, eternal life. I mean, just if you're listening to me now and the day comes and you weren't truly a believer, but we're trying your best, and I hope the Lord brings to your memory what's being said right now, because think back right as you're walking towards the guillotine or whatever they're going to kill you with. Think back and how you saw all these prophecies fulfilled. You know for a fact that the Bible is true, Jesus is coming just by looking around all everything that you see, even the guillotine or even the method by which they're going to kill you for your faith. That all tells you that God is real. Why on earth would you choose to die in Plague 7? Why not die before the plagues hit? And what do I say before? Well, look at the 1 hour with the beast. Soon as they passed the law, as soon as they passed that death decree, the killing stops. That's right. The killings are going to be going on during the buy and sell situation. They get together as a one world government to try and quench that because it's anarchy, every nation. You don't believe me? Well, Spirit of Prophecy talks on it, Scriptures talks on it, and I got a big write-up on the website where I share a study, and a few brothers in the faith share a study about the 1 hour. But Satan's got people out there believing the opposite so as to have them unready for what's already starting. So, now we know what Jesus said in prophecy regarding Lot's day and Noah's day and how it's going to be repeated in our day. First and foremost, we need to acknowledge the fact that many wolves are going to be out there and are out there now saying it's going to be global chaos during all seven plagues. Which, for many, this may be true, yeah, as these will be some very scary days for the lost souls. When the plagues start, if you're a Christian, you're part of the Gideon band. It's going to be intense, but you have no fear of death. I mean, you get perfect peace, in fact, even during the plagues. Even if they throw you in a dungeon and they say you ain't got nothing to eat until your God returns, you know, they'll mock you. They'll wag your head or their head like they did when Jesus was on the cross. But when SDA leaders like Doug Batchelor and those that follow their apostate lead claim the 1 hour with the beast happens before the plagues, and then there's anarchy worldwide, and no one is in any kind of governmental control, they make that which Christ said come off as suspect in the same way the Jesuits do with their secret rapture. And then there's 7-year tribulation time, wherein the people of God are supposedly spared in a rapture, wherein they hang out in heaven while all this goes down and the rest left behind on earth are just running amok like mindless zombies. Some are even preaching out there saying that Jesus has already come, he's hiding on the planet somewhere, so for some reason now Jesus can use deception. I guess there's a lot of Christians that are switching to Islamic theology because that's how the Quran is written. The old stuff, yeah, blow it off, the new stuff's better. No, it's not how it goes. The Bible's never changed. And so how can any of this be true? Some actually think that, you know, they're gonna rise with Jesus and hide out in the clouds for a while till all it calms down and then come back, and that's the second coming at the end of the 1,000 years. You're not going to find a Bible verse to back any of that up, but people are teaching this. So looking back from my childhood to this day, I can see that the days we live in are already as they were in the days of Lot and the days of Noah. Even more so recently, right? I mean, are we not already in the days of the coming of the Lord and on the precipice of the great and dreadful day as we speak? All we await now is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. That's what we're waiting for. We always wait on our God. We don't care what Satan wants to do. We're waiting on our God. And so when we get the latter rain and we go forth and the rest of the prophecies all just fall in line, that for the most part fall on the heads of the wicked, and, you know, with the fearful realism that they can't even muster and even think about. I mean, you think of your scariest thing and then encase it in darkness, because there's, you know, one of the plagues. and then, of course, you know, bolster the fear 100 times and it still ain't going to match how scary it's going to be during the plagues if you're not a Christian. You would literally want to go back in time and get killed on the guillotine day one in the plagues, if you're not a Christian. But now it's too late, according to the prophet Amos. We all know they're going to go back and forth looking in the Bible, looking for vindication, but it's just not there. It's in Amos chapter 8 somewhere. Verses 10 and 11, I think. So, and since we know this to be true, I would like to share something with you that I was reading just the other day from Signs of the Times. It was written on June 4th, 1894. This is going to be paragraph 9. Signs of the Times. I'm going to put this in a room if it'll fit. Oh, no, it ain't going to fit. I'll put the, you know, it's three paragraphs. But I'll put the where you can find it if you got one of those. It's ST, comma June 4, comma 1894, paragraph, you know, PAR dot 9 for those listening on WTPR. And for those of you on the stream, well, that's more or less the same thing. Just do I have it in here? Oh, good. I got it in the stream. There we go. I forgot. I put it in the stream. All right. So we're going to be jumping back and forth here. So there it is in the stream. It's, oh, sorry. I'm moving the wrong thing around. Okay. I gotta do it like that. That's the only way it's going to work for me. So again, Signs of the Times, June 4th, 1894, paragraph 9. All right, it says, the condition of society today is similar. Is that where I'm starting? Yeah, okay, so yeah, so is similar to what it was in the time of Noah. And if Jesus was among us, he would say, can you not discern the signs of the times? And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And by the way, I was doing my Bible study this morning, I think it was in Psalms, and I came across a statement that the Lord made through David, you know, regarding using the salt pit in judgment. And it brought me back to Sodom and Gomorrah, because the Dead Sea, a lot of people don't know this, but the Dead Sea, I think, was called the Sea of Sodom before Sodom and Gomorrah, before the brine, you know, the brimstone fell out of the sky and all that stuff. With that event happening on Sodom and Gomorrah, it killed that sea. And from that day forward, it was called the Dead Sea. A lot of people don't know that. So anyway, getting back to what she just said here, she's actually echoing Luke chapter 17 here, you know, the marriage and given in marriage and all that. And when we look at that statement of Jesus where he said in Luke 17:29 that it was in the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, that judgment fell upon it, this is Jesus speaking here. And so the word day will still have its prophetic definition of year, as we see in Numbers 14:34 or Ezekiel 4:6, because in both cases, Jesus was the one that gave the definition of the word day in prophecy to Moses and Ezekiel, as well as John later on in Revelation. Being students of prophecy, though, we know that the plagues fall within a year, for it was also declared by the prophet John in Revelation 18:8. I think it's up here somewhere. There it is, right there, Revelation 18:8. That her plagues come in one day. Okay. Those people in Sodom, as well as those people in Noah's day, were living life as if all that was occurring in society was normal, just as they are all doing today. And today it's even more apparent that they are all blinded by their sin, because not only is society just as sinful as it was in Noah's day, today we have all sorts of prophesied earthquakes, strange weather, signs in the heavens, and a host of other prophetic events that for most people seems like it's just all perfectly normal, like it was in Noah's day before the flood, or in Sodom and Gomorrah before judgment fell out of the sky. Seriously, ask anyone in their 20s or so. You could even ask them in their 30s or 40s about the tornadoes, the hurricanes, and the quakes, just to name a few. And they're going to say, well, it's always been like that. And so for them, it's absolutely normal. But if you were asking someone my age, or even my parents' age, how life was when they were young, if they were still alive to tell you, they would say what's happening today is boldly abnormal. This ain't planet Earth. What happened? Could you imagine if somebody was in a coma since your grandpa's day, got up, and went outside and just read the newspapers or went online for a week or two and thought, what happened? Did somebody switch planets or something? What's going on here? None of this stuff is normal. None of this was happening in my parents' day. And next to none of it was happening in my day until I had my very first tornado at the ripe old age of 12 in 1967. Even with that, I do recall years of no twisters after that. But as I got into my teens and into my 20s and 30s and so on, well, with each passing decade, it became very obvious to me that we're in the days of the coming of the Lord. I remember as a church family, we used to keep track of how many times we prayed tornadoes off track. We recorded it twice using your cell phones. You get that app in there that allows you to see the radar, and you see the tornado coming right towards you. You pray, and all of a sudden the storm shifts, goes above your area before it reaches you, passes your area, and then drops right back down to where it was previously when it passes your area and continues on its natural course. I recorded that twice on a cell phone, lost the first one, kept the second one. I think it's on the website somewhere. But we got up to the number of 54 times we as a church family, we stopped counting at 54. And this was like 10 years ago, 15 years ago. We stopped counting when we got to 54, where a tornado was headed towards us, or any of you, and it was gone when we prayed. But anyway, Sister White goes on to say here, and now she's sharing from the Lord's words from the book of Matthew, chapter 24. She says, well, this is Jesus talking now. It says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." And this is what really brings tears to my eyes. As a matter of fact, I got a little misty earlier here before church because I'm thinking about all these people that I love that just won't open their Bibles, and we're trying to warn them. And says, "You got to be kidding me. Watch what's happening. You don't even know when the Lord's coming. Neither do we, but we know the season and we're in it." Oh, man. So anyway, Jesus goes on to say, he says, "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and went out and have suffered his house to be broken up." You know the prophetic symbolism, the house, your life, you know. Anyway, going on, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And then Sister White, well, let me scroll up a little bit here so you can see. Oh, that's where I was reading from, the bottom paragraph. Let's see. The world, she goes on to say that the world is given up to the pursuit of temporal affairs as men were in the days of Noah. You know, that kind of reminds, stopping here for a minute, that reminds me of, what was the guy's name? I think he was an SDA guy. Paul Harvey. He did a thing on the radio. I think I put it on the website years ago, and if I could find it again, I'd put it on a blog entry today just for the sake of doing it. Because he locked it down, and he was one of those old-school SDAs, so he didn't get into all the bogus theology. But he, as far as I know, I mean, you don't have this kind of wisdom and still embrace apostasy. I'm sure the other guys, like Batchelor and all those, they could fake it, because all they're doing is echoing, you know, Bible studies that were done in the infancy of the church. Anybody could do that. "Tell me what's going to happen tomorrow, Doug." No, you can't. As a matter of fact, he tried. He messed up. 1 hour of the beast, as among other things. Anyway, even as a teenager, we can see this fulfilled as we speak because of the way society is all about worldly things. I mean, they even have television shows out there called Shark Tank, wherein people glorify wealth and fame, and the chance to make millions or billions of dollars by selling products to all people in the world that clamor after creature comforts. But I can recall as a child when mom stayed home to raise the children and dad went off to work. One income took care of all the bills. Today, the pursuit of temporal affairs, yeah, they've caused mom to go to work. But getting back to Paul Harvey, he echoed this thing, like he was talking like about something like a meeting that the devil was having with his demons, and saying, "Keep everybody busy because stuff is going to start happening, and we want to keep them so busy that they don't even have time to read their Bibles, because if they read their Bibles, they're going to know everything that's happening out in the world, that I'm doing it, and I'm getting everything ready to kill them off so that when Jesus gets back, I can have as many people into my charred trophy cases I can get." And so this has happened. When I was a kid, one income took care of the bills. My dad had 11 children. Well, my mom had 11 children. But you know what I mean? He had a big nut to crack, as you would say if he was a squirrel, let's say. Right? He had a lot of bills. Sure, he made a lot of money, but you wouldn't know it because there was a lot of kids consuming all that money. Our food bill was off the chart. The food bill was more than the mortgage. So, 11 kids. Not counting mom and dad, you know? And so, one income... It took care of all the bills. Today, the pursuit of temporal affairs has caused mom to go to get a job. What's worse, in so doing, with mom going to work, with dad going to work too, someone that doesn't even love their children now has to raise them for ridiculous fees, you know, daycare centers. And because it's all regulated by a Vatican-controlled government, the children are taught to deny God and love the world. They're teaching children in daycare centers about the positive aspects of homosexuality. I got a page on the website called Homeschool Spurs. Yeah, there's a reason I use the word spurs. And I've got well over 1,000 articles and videos showing what they're teaching in the schools. And I update it to this day still. I just don't comment on them as much as I used to because it's just redundant. They just keep doing it over and over and over. They're passing a bill in California to get all the kids to glorify and pray as a group with the teacher to the Aztec gods. Why? Well, because the ball's running so far down the hill, the mortal wound's healed, there's nothing that anybody can do to stop it on earth. Christ will stop it, yeah, obviously, but not until he gets here. Anyway, she goes on to say this in Matthew 24, echoing again. She's just echoing 24. She says, they are eating, drinking, planting, building, marrying, and giving to marriage. These things are all awful in themselves. But it is the caring of them to the excess that is sinful, especially when it comes to the marriage and giving in marriage. And so the world, she says, has had great light and has been greatly favored. And yet the people of the world come short of living up to their responsibilities. Isn't that something? Let me see here. Let me stop here for a moment here and... Well, seriously, great light has been granted all of us. We have more signs from God that he is about to end it all, that Satan has done all he could to rewrite Bibles, as well as place homosexuals and even pedophiles on pulpits to preach heresy as if it's all truth. This has to be done because Satan knew his time was short. And he knew the signs of the end would be numerous in number. In Lot's day, or Noah's day especially, not a lot of prophetic revelation outside of the gospel message shining light on the darkness of debauchery. Yeah, but we have the same today. But we have also seen prophetic events that amaze even the angels. But because most don't study Bibles, and the wolves on the pulpits have no clue as to what is written, no one knows about the prophecies about the end have already been well documented as fulfilled. I did a sermon years ago outlining and proving each one fulfilled in regards to the end times starting and even the prophecies that will happen after the end times begin, each one fulfilled so as to make this point very clear. Now, I'm not going to mention all of them because it's a huge list, but to mention just a few of the more shocking ones, I think it's fitting that I do so. I mean, you recall these prophetic events as being fulfilled, right? I would think. A great tribulation is going to see millions of people die. Jesus called it a great tribulation, right? It's right. It's, well, I don't know if you call it exactly a great tribulation, but that happens for 1,260 years. That already happened. But they're teaching everybody that's going to happen at the end of a secret rapture. A single global earthquake is going to kill many. That was prophesied to happen directly before the end times began. That happened in 1755. That earthquake was centered in Lisbon. and it shook many countries. I got to write up about all this in my book, The People Get Ready. The sun will become black for more than 24 hours. You couldn't even see your hand in front of your face, like black velvet, one guy said in the documentation. And some of these people that made notice of this were congressmen back before all the corruption. The moon will appear as blood. That happened the first time around the dark day of, 1796? Or so? I can't remember the exact date. It's in my book. Stars will fall from heaven. That's been the norm now, especially in regards to some of these comet tails that we frequently go through now. And now you got Comet Encke coming in the year 2030, which has a 20-mile-long chunk of hail in its tail, and they're predicting it's going to hit the planet in 2030. What's Plague 7? Hail, right? Global wars are supposed to occur twice. That was prophesied. That has happened. Fear will grow off the chart. Well, everybody knows that one. Knowledge will increase. Yeah, that's off the chart. False prophets and false Christs are going to appear. And seeking money. Because, I mean, there's millions of them now. I mean, like the false prophets. I mean, everybody that says that Sunday's a Sabbath, they're a false prophet, because you don't just predict future, you declare doctrine or explain it. And there's a Bible verse to back up Sunday Sabbath. So, yeah, many false prophets there. It was also prophesied that homosexuality will go to be embraced as normal directly before the end. Why? Because, well, it's like the days of Noah. That was the last straw. That's when the Lord told Noah to build the ark. They made homosexual marriage legal globally. Well, as far as their society existed. You had Pangea before the flood, so they were all on one continent. And then in the days of Peleg, as it says in the Bible, the Lord swelled the planet up a little bit and split, you know, made those continental divides and whatnot. And yeah, that's the reason for the asteroid belt. Because when our planet grew just a little bit, it blew a planet up between us and Mars. That's where that asteroid belt came from. So anyway, earthquakes were prophesied, and they were very scarce before. I mean, we had earthquakes before the year 1900, but there's more earthquakes per day now. They're like sometimes in a day, like they got these minor, like these microquakes, they call them. You can have thousands of those in a day. But I did a big write-up about this in the book, People Get Ready, but that book is old. I should update it. That's kind of like what I did with the We Are Very Near the End page on the website. It's just an update of People Get Ready. And even that needs an update, because there's earthquakes happen in one day now that are more than happened in the years prior to 1900. And, of course, it was prophesied that Christians would be slaughtered again. Well, 200,000 are dying each year right now by the Vatican Muslims. And I do say Vatican Muslims. I got two pages proving it. And the Muslims actually prove it. They even salute the Pope using the Roman salute. You know, that Hitler used? That's a Roman salute. The arm out straight. That's how the Roman soldiers would salute their Pontificus Maximus, which is now the Pontificus Maximus calls himself Pope. So the Christians were slaughtered. And then another prophecy that a lot of people don't know about, unless, of course, they wake up in one morning and their whole neighborhood stinks because of all these dead fish. But animals, birds, fish, insects are all dying, biblical numbers. That's been going on for about 10 years now. Disease and famine is going to be normal. Again, none of this stuff was happening when I was a kid. None of it. Once in a while, I remember when I was an early teenager, they started showing the kids with the flies by their eyes in Ethiopia. That's judgment on them. If you look in the scriptures, you'll see why. Because they're actually Jews. They're one of the families, one of the tribes. So disease and famine. And then the flood of Noah will be denied. I can't imagine how many people have said that they don't believe the planet was covered in a global flood. Well, explain the seashells on the highest mountains. Little tiny seashells, of course, because it wasn't flooded that long. But they move around. You know, they get where they got to be. And then another prophecy, demons are going to appear as ghosts of dead loved ones, and the religion of the occult will form, you know, spiritualism. Natural disasters will be the norm, and then a new world order is going to be formed. So Sister White continues on by sharing Christ's words from Matthew 11 or Luke 10, whichever you prefer here. She says that the warning Christ gave, I think that's where I left off, right? Yeah. So the warning Christ gave to the cities that had been most highly favored had not repented. She says, this applies to the world in this day. Oh, what? Then she says, woe. Well, she's echoing scripture again, either Matthew 11 or Luke 10. woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, that's Jesus talking, by the way, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Yeah, Plague 7 is going to be off the chart worse than what went down in Sodom and Gomorrah, what went down at Katrina, what went down in San Francisco. You know. Yeah, and those were judgment calls. San Francisco quake, the Katrina thing. Well, yeah, those were from the Lord. So Jesus clearly stated here that for some, they're just going to continue to do normal activities to some extent all the way up until the day or year, as prophesied, when the plagues fall. Yeah, many are going to be killed off by the plagues, but the deaths we see now with the vaccine will be no doubt censored in the media. I mean, think about it. They're censoring the deaths in the media now of the vaccines. Do you really think they're going to let people know about the deaths that are going to be going down in the plagues? No. For the same reason they got a 20-foot barbed wire fence around Mount Sinai. Anything that has to do with glorifying the God of heaven, yeah, don't tell the people about that. They're going to lose their control. And by the way, in Israel, where they I just put this on the site yesterday. In Israel, where they blanketed the people with the vaccine, were you aware? Think about this, because what they just did in the Netherlands, were you aware that people over the age of 65 that got the vaccine were dying 40 times more from the vaccine than they were from COVID? Kid you not, documented. And people under 65, now this is sad, because they're targeting the young now. People under 65 were dying 260 times more from the shot than they were from COVID. Because nobody young is going to die of a common cold or even a flu. And so 260 times, yeah, the norm. They get the vaccine, they drop. Yet the majority of the media hid that. And I have the video. It's right there. Frightening. And I got the link for the 1 hour with the beast there regarding Plague 6 in the link section of the sermon notes. But link number two is that it's a video where... Oh, I hope they didn't yank it. Let me just see the URL. Because if it's on YouTube, they're going to yank it. Oh, no, it's on 153news.net. Luke, that's one of them. I think Luke's already got this one in his list. But that's one of the free speech kind of websites a lot of my videos are going to be showing up on. I'm going to upload the BitChute. Luke's going to upload a whole mess of others. So, but anyway, but when I get, you know, getting back to my point here, since they can hide the deaths of the people they're killing as we speak, Satan's no doubt going to hide the deaths dying, and you know, the people dying in the plagues, just as easily, because he has to keep the delusion flourishing all the way up until Plague 6, when he can muster as much hatred against the Gideon band who refused to bow to his demands regarding worshiping him on his fake Sabbath over and above the Creator God on his Sabbath. Now do you see why every time the Mark of the Beast is mentioned in prophecy that the word worship is right there with it? It's a religious law, exactly as prophesied. Come on, Satan's a religious being. He's an angel. So he's going to seek worship. That's the reason he got kicked out of heaven. It's got to be a religious law, even if we didn't have a Bible. He's got to try to supersede the kingdom of New Jerusalem, the kingdom of our God. But he can't, obviously. And so he knows he's going to die. So he's going to try to take as many people with him when he dies. And so that's why I outlined how the vaccine was being pushed as a religious decision in part one of this sermon, last Sabbath. All the puzzle pieces are in place right now. But because most people don't study their Bibles, they think I'm a nutcase. And they trust their 501c3 government agents as pastors, who also think we're a bunch of idiots. They think the mark of the beast is a barcode or a 666 tattoo on their forehead or their hand or the very chip inserted under the skin. I mean, they can't come up with a single Bible verse to back any of that up, but we know because we study Bibles that Bible prophecy is way, way, way too accurate for them to miss this one. And so Satan rewrote their Bibles and possessed their preachers. Seriously, that is what was prophesied regarding the Bible in the defiled bread prophecies that's found in the Old and the New Testament. And it's just amazing how many wolves in sheep's clothing are out there. Christian prophecy is that accurate. And so in closing, it's clear about Plague 6. The prophecy is clear about Plague 6, which we will get into more detail later in the sermon series. You know, one of these days I'm going to make a video about the 1 hour with the beast. I've got to, but that's, you know, maybe with the new rig I'm setting up, maybe I'll make a video then, because I can make a long video on that kind of a rig without it worrying about getting choppy on me. But the New World Order will be the global government network that will have control over the masses, who will surround the Gideon Band for 15 straight days at the end of Plague 6. But because many are going to say peace and safety, like Doug Batchelor and the Pope says the end is not yet nigh, when the truth that we started to present 20 years ago got to his ears and the Italians started getting all scared, thinking the world's coming to an end, and he goes, no. He puts out an official statement saying the world is not yet nigh, the end is not yet nigh. It was in the 80s, as I recall. And I think that's actually when I left the Catholic Church, too. So the Lord used me and a bunch of other people. Me and my little nook, because I didn't have a lot of influence. And still don't. You know, they shadow me in the daylights out of me. And so, but they're like Doug Batchelor. Oh, peace and safety. Yeah, all this stuff's going to go down before the plague starts. So the Gideon Band's going to skate through. Not a problem. Seriously. Oh, no, the Armageddon's coming. Well, wait a second, you said Armageddon starts at before Plague 1. You can't have it both ways. You can't sit there and say that the 144,000 are going to have to deal with something pretty intense near the end of the plagues. Of course, you're not going to say Plague 6 because you don't want to vindicate that what we preach. But the fact of the matter is, that's what is prophesied. What they say can't be prophesied because it's from their own lips. A million wolves on pulpits cannot change Christian prophecy. A billion wolves can't change it. Both Scripture and the Spirit of Prophecy back this up in many ways. See link number one in the sermon notes after church if you want more info on this. And yeah, maybe I will make a video out there, but boy, the audio alone, it's going to take me a few days just to edit that. Because I'm thinking, you know how my videos are like 5, maybe 10 minutes tops. That takes me 7, 8 hours just to make the video, but the audio, that could take me an hour to edit it down. But an hour long, get all the burps and the hiccups and the mess up a word or something. And why don't I mess up words so much when I preach? I don't get that. When I'm making a video and making an audio for a video, I start tripping over my tongue, and I don't get that. I try to think in my mind, okay, the church family's here, and we're, like with the live streams that like we're doing now, the live streams that we used to do on YouTube. I never had to edit any. Sure, I still did hiccups and boo-boos with the words, but whoop-de-doo, that's life. And so, but again, see link number one for the Hour of the Beast. And if like I said, hopefully I'll get time to make that video, but it's going to be huge, over an hour. But there's so much biblical and spirit of prophecy information on that. And I think it would be wise for Eli and Sean and some of the other guys to make videos of what they put up. Eli, though, he's going to have a real... his is way, way, way in depth. He took 14 points that were being declared by a false prophet and put them all back in context. And that was huge, what he did. That was amazing. And you need to read that, too. Don't just read mine and Sean's and Zimbe's. I think Yaswin chimed in, too. I can't remember exactly who all was in there. But yeah, because that one really in depth, 14 points deep. And so for me to go and proofread it for the typos, thanks, bro. I was kidding him about that back then. I says, oh, you know how long is it going to take me to proofread this? So anyway, for the most part, as we all will also see later on in the sermon series, the only ones that are going to be experiencing mortal and abject fear are going to be the wicked, who never desired the promised peace of Jesus Christ. They never reached out to Jesus and says, Lord, I can't take this anymore. It's getting old. I'm getting scared. Please, take my life. And, oh, man, I did that back in the 80s. And it wasn't about fear or nothing like that. It was something else going on in my life at that time. And it was at the end of those, when I was like, I was trying to get, clean up my life and stuff like that. And I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it until Christ stepped into my life. And so, but yeah, they're going to have abject fear. And because they never desired to promise peace. I mean, that is why it's so easy for Satan to move them to surround us at Armageddon, because the strong delusion that is still upon them at this time allows them to believe that we are the reason for the plagues. That's what they believe deep down, even though none of us have a single boil on our faces or bodies anywhere. They're covered in them. From plague one on, they still have them. And we all have, in the Gideon band, plenty of fresh water to drink. What do they got? Well, they're bloodthirsty, so the Lord gave them blood to drink. Fresh water and salt water. Well, the salt water will turn black like the blood of a dead man, the prophecy says. So that turns black because it's got salt in it. But the fresh water, and I've got videos too, three of them, and on my Seven Last Plagues page, pictures and everything, of the water's already showing up blood red everywhere. Not everywhere, but we could see the harbinger, the coming of the plagues. It's that close now. The Lord has already got everything set up. Fisteria pacifica. I know that's some Latin term for some little amoeba-looking thing that on steroids. I mean, it looks like an amoeba, but it's got spikes instead of like the smooth edges, you know, the one-cell organism, the amoeba. Remember from your high school days? Yeah, I remember looking at one under a telescope. But this one here had the Fisteria pacifica. Scientists actually said, oh, this looks like this thing absolutely has to be from a different planet. It's an alien from a different world. Why? Because they couldn't figure out how this thing is doing what it's doing. What's it doing? Well, first of all, it looks like an amoeba, but it's spiky instead of smooth bumps, like as an amoeba just moves around like a blob, you know, and it's got spikes, and it's in the ocean and freshwater, both places. Actually, I think it's only in the ocean. Wait. Yeah. In the shorelines, that's right, because the ocean is salt, turns blood of the dead man black. But when you get near shore, have you ever noticed, like, if you do some reading, like, in the historic records in regards to why certain pirates and even big ships, or even cruise ships to this day, will pull in close to shore and then pull fresh water out of the ocean? How's that possible? Well, you got all these tributaries dumping into the ocean, and so at least sometimes it could be for miles, you've got nothing but fresh water. It's drinkable, but only in certain areas of the planet, because some that just don't work that way. And so Fisteria pacifica is a little, you know, a parasite, if you will. A fish swims by. It shoots. It's a little fisherman is what it is. It shoots out a tendril, connects to the fish underneath the scale, reels itself back in, and attaches to the fish. If the fish weighs 1 pound, it's dead in 1 hour. If it weighs 100 pounds, it's dead in about 100 hours. But before it dies, the fish gets covered in boils that seep, a toxic liquid that turns the water blood red. And that's been there for decades. Just sitting there waiting on the Lord to say, okay, go for it. It's time to do it. Plagues have started. And to add to their fears, you know, the wicked, they have already seen many of their friends. Now they're in the plagues. Okay, now they're already in the plagues, and they're going to be dying soon too, like everybody else. But they've already seen many of their friends and loved ones die in the plagues. And so they believe, the Pope and the fake Jesus, that to stop the plagues, they need to kill us because they don't want to die too. Even though they don't realize they're going to die, period. But notice these two prophecies. That they because they never studied their Bibles, never knew existed. If you're not a Christian right now and you want that perfect peace of Christ to be able to go through these plagues, you need to hear these two promises. Okay, I don't even know if I put them in the... Yep, there they are. Psalm 91, verses 10 to 11, and Isaiah 54, 17. Psalm 91 says this, verses 10 and 11. And this is talking to people that believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, because they can... believe the promise. If the promise is for them, they're the only ones that can claim. Yeah, that's what the word I was looking for. Sorry, they can claim the promise. They're the only ones. The wicked, they can't claim this promise. Notice what it says. It says, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." But if you're not a Christian, you're not going to be protected. Those plagues are going to take you out. And then look at Isaiah 54, 17. Because if you're not a Christian, you're going to be one of those people that are going to surround us in plague six. But what does it say here? Now, if you're with our number, yeah, you're going to see people surrounding us in plague six. You might even see some loved ones that want to kill you. They would rather you die than they. I mean, they don't know you're part of a Gideon band. They don't know you're going to survive. They think if they kill you, they will survive, because the strong delusion got them to believe Satan when he said, "Ye shall not surely die." Yeah, he's been saying that for 6,000 years. He said it to Eve first, if you recall. And so Isaiah 54, 17 says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." The wicked do not know of these promises, and so they will surround us with complete confidence that we will die. They all believed a lie all the way up till their very own demise in plague number 7. And I hope and pray that you are blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.